Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Yes, we will talk about Memorial Day. And while I was praying, how could I make a message that would be Memorial Day and also biblical and talk about faith and things like that? Hebrews 11 came to mind. You know, Memorial Day was made after the Civil War in 1868. It was decreed that it was going to be on the 30th of May each year. And then Congress, to make a Monday holiday, they changed that day to the last Monday in the month of May. But you know something? Why do we have a Memorial Day? So we don't forget those who gave their lives for us. I have two pictures of cemeteries that are in France. This is the Normandy American Cemetery. It overlooks Utah Beach in France. On the cliffs of France. We know what Utah Beach is. It's D-Day. And next week, we're going to have the anniversary of D-Day, where thousands and thousands of people gave up their lives as they invaded Europe again. In fact, in Normandy, there's 9,388 people buried there. It's unique because people who were in the service in World War II and did these things can't ask to be buried there. There was a gentleman by the name of Julius H.O. Piper. He was the last one to be buried there in June 19, 2018 by his twin brother who lost his life in the invasion of D-Day. There's another one. This is the Lorraine American Cemetery. The issue was that there were so many deaths in World War II, they couldn't possibly bring back everything. So France gave land so we could bury our dead. And they're all in military precision, all in order. There's over 10,000 buried here in the eastern part of France, near Germany. And they basically came from one battle, the Battle of Metz. And you know, we need to remember this. There's a lot of things that are forgotten about Memorial Day. First of all, what it means. There's actually a thing that people just don't do anymore. As part of the law that made Memorial Day, at 3 p.m. on Memorial Day, there's supposed to be a national moment of silence to remember the dead. But people don't do that anymore. We're too busy with our lives to try to keep on doing things, and we don't stop remember of the sacrifices made so we could do the things that we do. We as Christians need to understand that there were sacrifices made so we have spiritual freedom. So we have a home in heaven. You know, the rich and the poor and the famous and the unnamed are in these cemeteries. In the Normandy Cemetery, there's a headstone and in the burial site of Teddy Roosevelt Jr., President Teddy Roosevelt's son. He survived D-Day but died of a heart attack on June 12, 1944. People gave up their lives for what we can do today. We need to remember them. You know, the Bible, as I said with the kids, I said the Bible is set up with a bunch of memorials. This is a good mosaic of Hebrews chapter 11 about people that have faith. And we know it as God's hall of fame of faith. And we need to understand those that we stand on the shoulders of now and our life. We need to become like them. So this morning, the title of my message is, They Still Speak. When you go to Arlington or you go to Fort Sam and you see all those tombstones, they still speak. They speak of the sacrifice that gives us our freedom. They speak of dedication. They speak of duty. They speak of patriotism. We're going to be looking at all of chapter 11. In the first verse of chapter 12, but we're not going to read them all today. We're just going to take a summary, a survey of this chapter, and we'll talk about faith. But as I take the sermon title, I take it from verse 4. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, it says, By faith, Abel. You know what's important about Abel? He was the first death in the Bible. He was killed for doing righteousness. He was killed because of jealousy. He was killed because of evil. He was killed by Cain. It says, By faith, Abel offered unto God a what? A more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And here's the last phrase. And by it, he being what? Dead, yet speaketh. You know, we're all going to die one day. There have been people that have died. I'm sure that everyone that died and are buried in those cemeteries didn't want to die there. They wanted to come home. They wanted to be with their families. But they understood there was something higher. There was something greater that they needed to commit their lives to. And folks, this morning, I want us to understand that there are things that we need to commit our lives to. And that's faith. And the only way that we can do it is through faith. So this morning, as we dig this survey through Hebrews chapter 11, I want you to look at some of the things that these heroes of the faith in chapter 11 did about faith. And then also tie it to what Memorial Day always stands about. First of all, these people that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, some by name and some without, they understood the words of faith. More importantly, they understood the biblical definition of faith. Today, folks, we live in a world where everybody is redefining everything. And they're redefining what faith is. Folks, faith is not just coming to church on Sunday morning. Faith is living your life for Christ. It's an all the time, lifelong commitment. Verse 1 gives us a biblical definition of faith, and we need to understand that. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It is not the things that are not on this verse. This is what faith, true biblical faith, true spiritual faith is all about. And I want to share four things about what the biblical definition of faith is and what to understand faith is all about. First of all, it's found in the word substance. When you translate the Greek word for substance, it actually means not something that you hold, but something that you have a firm trust in. Augustine said this. He said, faith is to believe what we do not see. And the reward of this faith is to see what we believe. We sing the song, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when my face shall be what? Sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. And God reveals to us all the things that faith gets us. Oh, folks, faith is substance. It's something that we know in our lives works. It's something that you have a firm trust in. The first takeaway of this message is, do I have a firm trust in God? Do I have a true faith in this? And what is it? Is it things hoped for? It's not about what you're going to get tomorrow at your work or what we're going to do tomorrow on Memorial Day. It's what's going to happen in the next life. It's what's going to happen in eternity. Things hoped for. It's basically to wait for salvation. The translation means to wait for salvation with what? With joy and full of confidence. Clement says that faith is voluntary anticipation. Oh, folks, if we truly have faith, you're going to have substance in your life.
Right.
The second thing is you're going to have something that you're looking forward to. We have hope. If you're here and you don't have any hope this morning, then you need better faith. You need faith in the one that gives hope. He's the God of all hope. He's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all strength. He's the God of all mercy. And then the third thing is it has evidence. Evidence is something that you present in order to show other people that you have it. In this case, it's something that we commit ourselves to. It says proof by that by which a thing is proved or tested. You know if you have faith or not. And you know if that faith works or not. And if your faith is not working, it's not faith. If that faith is not working, it's not faith. It's evidence that other people can see in you. Right. That you truly believe this. You know, it's easy to say I'm a Christian. It's a lot tougher to live it.
Amen.
It's a lot tougher to explain it.
Right.
But you know something? We need to do both.
Yes.
We need to do both. Evidence of what? Things not seen. Things not seen. That which exists that you do not physically see. See, we want to come to church. We want to see something. We want to see God working. A great miracle happen. That's not necessarily faith. God may do that if He chooses to do that. But faith is what happens in your life when you don't see what you want to see. You still trust in God? See, all these things, it's faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. We've not seen God. We see His action on the world. We see His creation. We see His effects, but we don't see Him. But one day we will. Amen. And we'll look at Him face to face, and we'll see the thorn prints on His brow. We'll see the spear print in His side. We'll see the nail prints on His hands and His feet. And say, oh God, I love You. Glory! Hallelujah!
Amen.
Oh, aren't you looking forward to that? That's something. You haven't seen heaven yet. We have a poor word picture of what heaven is. This can't be compared to what's there. Oh, folks. Things not seen. We need to get out of the physical and about the things that are happening in this world and start looking to the spiritual. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, we talked about this with wisdom. It says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, there's a, you know something? Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. It's time to stop talking about things and doing them.
Right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's too many Christian name only out there. Don't be a sinner. Don't be a sinner. It says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. When you come to church, you see that preaching is foolishness to you. Does it sound foolish? Why does he get up here and yell and does all this stuff? It's not foolishness. It's the wisdom of God.
Amen.
We need to follow it. So before you start, you need to know what you believe. Because with the foundation, without the foundation of faith, you can't do the things that these people did in Hebrews 11. Without the commitment of those people that died, they went to their deaths committed to serving their country. Committed to freedom, committed to patriotism, committed to this, committed to doing everything, no matter what the cost was. Oh, folks, we need that because they believed it. Do we have faith? Do we have faith? So these famous people here in God's Hall of Fame, they understood the words of faith. They made a declaration of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Not your spouse, not your kids. Him is God. We need to be in the business of pleasing God. If you're pleasing God, I guarantee you everything else will work out fine.
Right.
Okay? But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he is that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. There's three things that we need to understand when faith acts in your life. First of all, it's a necessity in order to please God. It says if you don't have faith, substance things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, you can't please God. It's him. What does impossible mean? You can't do it. God gives us the ability to have faith in Him through His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, folks. And God's not going to come down with a magic wand and say, ha-ha! You're released from all this. There's some work involved on our part to do it too.
Right.
It's a necessity to have faith in order to please God. Secondly, it's an action to approach God. It says, and he, for he that what? Cometh to God. Come to God this morning. Come to God this morning and understand who He is. He's the creator of the universe. He made you. He gives us life today. He allowed us to be here today. It's an action to approach God. We have to do something. And the last thing is an acknowledgement from God. And if we approach Him and we diligently seek Him, what? He's a rewarder of them Boy, I like to get stuff. I like to get gifts. You know, the best gift giver is God.
Amen.
If you want something from God, you got to come to Him.
Right.
If you want something from God, you got to diligently seek Him. If you want something from God, you have to have faith in Him. It's a necessity. Because it's impossible not to please. It's impossible to please Him if you don't have it. So the first thing is they understood the words of faith. Secondly, they have made a declaration of faith through their lives. Everybody that has a cross or a tombstone, a marker, a national cemetery, made a declaration that I believed in what I did so much that I gave my life for what you have. You know, our memorial is the cross. Our memorial is the empty tomb. Oh, Christ did all that for us. What will we do for Him?
Yeah.
So they made a declaration of faith. Thirdly, they knew the destination of faith. They knew the destination of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16, it says, these all what? Died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, wherein God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He prepared for them a city. You know, I like what they did, the uniforms, for the last decade or so, that when you put on a uniform, you have the American flag on it. It's on your shoulder. And it's in the way that you're going forward as the flag would stream in the wind. Folks, we need to have the markings of Christ on our life. We need to make a declaration of faith in our life. You know, sometimes when we don't get what we wanted, we get disappointed. God doesn't disappoint. God doesn't disappoint. Here, they knew the destiny. They died in faith. They died in faith. They didn't receive the promise, but you know, they understood what they were fighting for. Do you know what you're having faith for today? Do you know what we're in spiritual... by the way, Ephesians 6 says we're not... We're in spiritual warfare, folks. Paul writes to Timothy, says, endure hardness as a what? Good soldier of Christ. They died in faith. But you know, in order to die in faith, you got to live in faith. They lived their faith. We need to realize that it's something that we need to do daily. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20 says, it says, I am crucified with Christ. That is your identification. That's your flag on your life. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, and I'm willing to give myself for Him. Folks, you can't die in faith unless you live in faith. You can't live in faith unless you see something bigger than you and better than you in the distance. You know, the Hebrew children, before they were thrown in the fiery furnace, they told Nebuchadnezzar, said, we don't care what you do. We die in the furnace, fine. If we don't die in the furnace, God delivers us. You'll see who God is. See, they had already made their mind up. Folks, we need to have our faith made up and our mind made up that we're going to do what He wants us to do and declare that. So the first thing is they, we see that all these people died in faith, and then because they lived their faith. Verse 14 and 15, they denied the place that their faith took them from. They denied the place that their faith took them from. Folks, there's a lot of people today that say they know Christ, but they live just like the world and there's no change in their life. That's not faith. I'm going to tell you that right now. It's not faith. It's time to come right down to the bedrock truth of God's Word.
Amen.
The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God will find out that he is. He's a reward of them that diligently seek him. Yes. And you'll live in faith and we will die in faith.
Amen.
Say, denied the place. It said they could have gone back, but they weren't going back. Because once they saw the promise, they never looked back. You know, Christ said, hey, anybody putting their hand on a plow and looking back, they're not fit for the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, it says to them all, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Not on your timetable, but all the time. You need to live by faith so you can die in faith. They denied the place the faith took them from. They desire something better than this world. They desire something better than this world. It says, but now they desire a better country. Do you desire heaven this morning?
Yes.
Do you desire a better world? Make a difference.
Right.
It's time to make a difference. On some having a compassion, making a difference. There's a story talking about a minister going down into inner projects to minister. And he meets a drug addict who's on drugs. He's got a knife and he says, I'm going to kill him. And he said this. He says, you can't threaten me with heaven. Think on that. You can't threaten me with heaven. Because the Bible says this. For me to live is Christ, and what? To die is gain. They all died in faith, seen, but without having the promise. They knew it was coming. They knew Christ was coming. And that was good enough for them. What do you have to have in your life to make it good enough for faith? So they denied the place that faith took it from. They didn't go back. They didn't go back. They desired something better than this world. Those men and women that fought and gave their lives for our country, they believed in something better. Something bigger than them. They believed in our country. They believed in the concept of freedom and liberty. All the things that we enjoy today. Oh, folks, we need to reflect on their sacrifice. We need to reflect on Christ's sacrifice, folks.
Amen.
For without me, you can't do anything. Without Christ, we are most hopeless. So they understood the words of faith. They made a declaration of faith. They knew the destination of faith. And they undertook a walk of faith. I have three examples this morning. The first one's Abraham. He has two verses here. In Hebrews 11 verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have after received for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Okay, here's the life lessons. Here's the spiritual lessons today. And these next couple of points, folks, this is what faith will do. This is what faith will do. Here's the lesson. When God calls, go. He told his disciples, he says, I called you to go out here. He says, don't go back and pack. Just go. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Just go. I'll take care of you. Abraham said, I want to get all my stuff in order here. Go. He went. What will it take for God to get you to go? It takes faith. Abraham went. In Hebrews 11:17, it said, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. What was the promise? That he was going to be the father of many people. He knew that God had to keep his promise. Thought if he killed Isaac, God was going to raise him. That's faith, folks. That's faith. So first lesson, when God calls, go. When tests come, trust. Oh, there's so many people that just give up. You know, John Mark, on the first missionary journey when he was with Paul and Barnabas, when the going got tough, he ran. So much of Paul on the second missionary journey says, no! I don't want him here. Folks, when we don't do what God tells us to do, and there's negative consequences, there's going to be some issues lingering on. Problem was, John Mark didn't trust. But then later on in Paul's life, he says, bring John Mark, or he's profitable to me. You can change today. You can start trusting today. You can have faith today. You can declare faith today. You can do all these things today. You can determine and see the destination today. Oh, Abraham, when God calls, go. When tasks come, trust. And Abraham failed too. He didn't wait long enough for Isaac. Tried to do things on his own and messed it up. And you know something? Our mess ups have lifelong consequences beyond us. So the first one, Abraham undertook a walk of faith. Moses. Moses goes to Pharaoh, let my people go. There's the plagues, and they come out after the Passover. They're out in the 3 days journey in the wilderness, and they're up against the Red Sea. And here comes the Egyptian army. And all the people say, we're all going to die! Moses cries out to God. God comes in and puts a pillar of fire between them and the Egyptians. The Egyptians couldn't get, they see each other, but couldn't get through. Now what are we going to do? We're just going to sit here all our lives? And Moses raises up and says, behold the salvation of the Lord. In verse 29, by faith, they passed. Folks, your faith will have impact on a whole bunch of people. We can save this nation with our faith.
Amen.
If we had faith. The size of a grain of mustard seed. Those people that gave their lives for our country, they believed it. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. No, by the way, God took care of their enemies too, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Here's the lesson. Against overwhelming odds, move forward.
Amen.
Sometimes we are just stymied. And we're locked in a prison of our fears. We're locked in a prison of, this task is too big, I can't do these things. You need to move forward, folks. You need to move. When God calls, go. When tasks come, trust. Against overwhelming odds, move forward. And then there's Joshua. Okay, get ready. Go on to Promised Land. Get all your armies together. This is the way you're going to march. This is what the weapons are going to have. Da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Jordan's flooded. Put the priest in there. Boom. What happens? Jordan parts. Walk through dry land. Okay, here we are. First place, Jericho. Big walls. So what are we going to do? We're going to set up a siege? Yeah, we're going to set up a siege. That's modern warfare. We'll starve them out. And Joshua is told by God to do what? Okay, here's what you're going to do. Okay, everybody armed. Tomorrow morning, walk around the city. Don't say a word. Just walk around the city. Go back to camp. What? No, we need battery rams and we need cannons and we need all this other stuff. Walk around the city, Joshua. Second day, do more of the same. Third day, do more of the same. Fourth, fifth, sixth day. Seventh day. Obviously, we're going to do something different. No, we're going to march around it seven times and then we're going to shout. That doesn't make any sense. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. You know why? You know why they fell down? Because they did what God told them to. After they were compassed about 7 days. When it doesn't make sense, keep going. When it doesn't make sense, keep going. Don't have to figure it out. Tell you what, stinking thinking fouls up the whole mess. Don't think. Just go. So, they undertook a walk of faith. Next, there are some that accomplished the works of faith. Noah. Noah built an ark. You know how long it took Noah to build the ark? 120 years. There's people who can't stay on task for 120 seconds. That's 2 minutes. Can you imagine? Oh, here we go. Get up again. Here's what we got to do. We got to build more ark. When is this going to get done? I don't know. It'll get done when it gets done. It gets done by faith. Noah, verse 7, being warned of God of things not seen yet. Now, what was happening? There's going to be rain. Hadn't seen rain. Now, building a boat in the middle of the desert. What are you building a boat for, Noah? There's going to come a flood. What's a flood? Don't know. It's a lot of water. Come rain. What's rain? Don't have it. They hadn't seen it. And they were ridiculed. He preaches. Not only does he build, he preaches for 120 years. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Folks, I'll tell you what. Faith will save your house. Faith will save your family. By the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is what? By faith. Here's a lesson. Though it's hard work and may take a lifetime, 120 years, a long time. Keep working. And they talk about praying through. Keep on praying until you get an answer. Keep on working until you get the result. Until you understand what God wants. So, though it's hard work and may take a lifetime, keep on working. Rahab. Hebrews 11, verse 11, 31. Here's good news, folks. You don't have to clean yourself up. God will use anybody. They just surrender to Him. Verse 31, it says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies when peace. See, Rahab suffered great risk by that. The king came and said, where are those men that you hid? Or where are those men that came to you? Okay? Everybody knew that there were spies in the city. And Rahab protected them. Here's a lesson. Even though it involves great risk, get on God's side. You won't lose. You won't lose. There's others. In verses 32 and 34 it says, and what shall I say? Shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, and Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also, and Samuel, and other prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You think they took risk? They took risk. Here's the lesson. Every victory and every great accomplishment in life is given to us by grace through faith. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, if you run from the fight, you're called a deserter. Those people that we honor tomorrow, they weren't deserters. They went to the end. Folks, we don't need deserters in the church. We don't need deserters spiritually. We need to follow through. They basically accomplished the works of faith. What works of faith do you see in your life today? God allows us to do great things for Him if we just let Him use us. They withstood the trials of faith. Verses 35 through 38. It says, women received their death, raised to life again. And look at now. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a what? Better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel markings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Hey, they were killed. Okay? Were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Here's the lesson. When life goes bad, don't give up. There's a lot of people out there hurting with massive trials in their life. Don't give up. Don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God will deliver. He will never leave us nor forsake us.
Amen.
When life goes bad, don't give up. There's a better life coming. See, they didn't receive the promise of the world, but they went to the end believing it. In Hebrews 11:39 says, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise." But it didn't stop them from going through the trial. Oh, there's so many people say, "I'm not going to church because when I go to church, bad things happen. When I turn my life over to God, things happen in my life, and I just give up because I don't want to do it." In this world, you shall have tribulation. All that live godly will suffer persecution. Here's these people. We're not suffering like they did. We're not suffering like they did. Okay? But you know something? They could see this promise. They knew God had something better for them. Remember the first martyr in the Bible? In the New Testament? Stephen. He comes and he preaches by faith the word of God to the religious leaders. He's a deacon. He is selected to be a deacon because of his faith, because of what he was doing. And that just gave him more responsibility. So now he's preaching everybody. And he basically convicts them all, and they're going nuts. And so they get angry and they're gnashing on him his teeth. In Acts chapter 55, verse 50 and 56, it says, back chapter 7, 55, 56, it says, "And he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." And you know what happened because of that? He was stoned. They couldn't stand it anymore and he was stoned. See? He saw something better. Paul writes, he says, "I don't think that the present sufferings of this life could be compared with the glory that is to come." Oh, folks, they withstood the trials of faith. When life goes bad, don't give up. There's a better life coming. Lastly, all of these became witnesses of faith. And chapter 12, verse 1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also accomplished about with so what? Great a cloud of witnesses." Tomorrow there'll be memorials done at all the national cemeteries. They are all witnesses of the price that freedom cost. Today, we need to be witnesses of the price that Christ paid for us. The price that these people were willing to go through, believing in the promise. And they were Old Testament saints. Oh, folks. "Wherefore, seeing we were accomplished about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." This is given to us for an encouragement. No matter what you're going through today, there's faith. And faith will get you through. No matter what problems you have, God's grace is greater if we have faith in it. Are we next to speak in faith? Are we the next generation? Are we the next ones to follow through? Are we the next ones to do what God wants us to do? And everybody will say, "Wow, there's something different about that person. I want my Savior to look down at me and say, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" "A man fell off a cliff but managed to climb a small branch sticking out from the side of the cliff. He shouts, 'Is anyone up there? I am here. I am the Lord. Do you believe in me?' Came the reply, 'Yes, Lord, I believe. I really believe, but I can't hold on much longer.' 'Don't worry, I will save you. Just let go of the branch.' A pause, then the man shouts, 'Is there anyone else up there?'" See, it is time to understand that it's only God that can save us. But we always wait for something else. What are you waiting for today? You need to be waiting on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We need to do that. If you never received Him as your Savior, you need that faith today. You need saving faith. Christ died on the cross for you. Was buried and rose again the third day. He died on the cross to forgive your sins. And He rose again to give you the gift of eternal life, which He alone can give. Christian, are we walking by faith? We need to walk by faith today. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time. Lord, just ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord. Just help us, Lord, to follow You. Lord, help us to have faith. Lord, the disciples say, increase our faith. Lord, I ask for that today. We give You this time of invitation. Ask Your Holy Spirit have full reign. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.